So we're seeing some alarming statistics about mental health emergencies among young people. What are we seeing here in the state of Delaware?
Well, in general, I mean, mental health issues, half of them are diagnosed by the age of 14. So it's primarily, you know, a burden of children. Same in Delaware. And with the pandemic and, you know, the social determinants of health and the disparities, we're just seeing a real spike in numbers. Our emergency department has seen an increase in kids coming with mental health emergencies by about 25%, and even a little bit higher in teens. And these are things ranging from anxiety and psychosis to suicide attempts and even suicides. So it's a real issue. You know, I mean, children's lives have really been turned upside down the last 2 years, as have all of ours. Not being able to go to school, not being able to participate in life events. But also there have been a significant number of kids whose primary caretakers have died from COVID, and that leaves them in real disarray. And the other thing that we're finding that's very concerning is the reporting of safety concerns for children has dropped since the pandemic. And we think it's probably because kids are not interacting as much with teachers and their pediatricians, and those are the kinds of people that would normally be the first line, if you will, for vulnerable children who might be, you know, being abused at home.
And when you talk about this increase, are you talking about an increase in volume, or is it also an increase in acuity or severity?
It's both. The volume overall here, we've seen an increase by at least a quarter in the number of kids that come to the ED, but they're also much more acutely ill for various reasons. Some kids come in with medical problems and have behavioral health issues, but a lot of the kids come in now with just active behavioral health issues that require a level of care that we just don't have in this state. And honestly, we don't have anywhere in this country. And so we're advocating very hard between the Academy and the Children's Hospital Association and Nemours to work with Congress to try to increase funding for primary screening at the daycare level, through schools, early treatment through schools, access to other outpatient behavioral health resources for families that may not have that access, and then developing more resources for acutely ill children, both, you know, with ED beds, and they really don't belong in the ED. So we're trying to get some funding to build some inpatient resources. We are very, very, very short on inpatient resources, but of course we always want to try to keep them out of the hospitals if possible, and access to those outpatient programs are very lacking in our state and throughout the country.
Why do you think we're seeing such an increase in mental health issues among children? You mentioned the pandemic, but from what I understand, this was a crisis that's been brewing for some time, hasn't it?
Oh, it definitely is. And the pandemic was just adding to what we already know about the disparities in the community. Disparities in access to education, food insecurities, single parent families, abuse and neglect at home. Those are all things that really add to the burden of behavioral health problems in kids, and that's only been magnified during the pandemic. And then the fact that there really isn't a great safety net for most of these kids, even pre-pandemic, to screen for these problems and to address them early before they become a more major issue.
Who do you think is the most impacted? I mean, how young are the kids that you're talking about?
All of the above. So traditionally it was early teens and teens that we would see more commonly in our emergency department, and those numbers have gone up by about 30%. But even in the kids, say, 5 to 11, I mean, those visits to the ED are also up 25%. And more alarming, we're beginning to see kids in that age group who actually come with, credible plans for suicide. And that is just devastating. It's not something we used to see.
Now, you're part of the American Academy of Pediatrics, the Delaware chapter. The national group did declare a state of emergency on this issue. What does that mean?
It is a call to arms, primarily for those of us who advocate to Congress and to our local legislators for, let's face it, most of this is funding. Everything that we talked about, the early screening, you know, the community-based resources, school resources, and certainly, you know, acute resources in hospitals require funding that has been traditionally lacking. You know, Medicaid does a very poor job in general of paying for behavioral health in kids, and there just aren't a lot of innovative programs out there to try to develop new models, right? So, you know, a child who might come into the emergency department probably doesn't need to be admitted, but certainly isn't safe to go home and follow up sometime later. You know, having, you know, community-based either day models or partial resident models, but those all require resources. And so we're really trying to frame this with our lawmakers as truly an emergency from the pandemic and from healthcare disparities that we just can no longer ignore, because this burden, you know, of behavioral health problems will just continue on into adulthood. And that's it's really late at that point to address them.
What kind of feedback have you received on this?
I think that the majority of legislators get it. And I would say across the aisle, I think the pushback comes in the funding piece, right? I mean, you know, some of the funding we're hoping to get comes from the Build Back Stronger, you know, the American Families Act. But those are truly around budgetary issues. Some of these are really more structural issues with Medicare and Medicaid, how to fund it, you know, mandates, community-based programs. That's when it becomes a little trickier getting bipartisan support. But I think, you know, for children's mental health issues, we found very little pushback. And I think there's some real effort now on the part of the Senate Committee for Finance to really try to find some money to at least fund some of the programs we've talked about.
Now, we mentioned that you're a pediatric surgeon. In a way, do you think that mental health issues and overall wellness kind of go hand in hand?
Oh, no question about it. On both sides of the coin. So as a surgeon, I certainly see kids that come in with injuries, for example, from risk-taking behavior or even more, you know, frustration and needing to get attention. You know, jumping out of moving cars, doing things that are really, you know, cries for help that they've not been able to get in any other way. But it also, you know, impacts all of the diseases that they come in with. You know, the lengths of stay are longer if they've got mental health comorbidities in addition to pneumonia or appendicitis or anything they come in with. And it makes it harder for them to get the follow-up care.
So as a pediatric physician, what would you say to a young person who's struggling with these issues or to their parents?
I would say right now, reach out to your primary care providers. You know, pediatricians are the front line for this. They are well trained. Unfortunately, their resources at this point are limited. I think that there are community-based resources for social work to help them access other community resources, and if they're very concerned about something that their child is struggling with and there's no other place to go, an emergency department can be the last resort for that. But I would say, you know, your primary care provider is a good first resource.